Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Amerks host Binghamton tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey, AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Let's talk some hockey. Frozen Four, Stanley Cup playoffs. Zig Fricassi joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Zig, how you been?
Boys, I'm doing well. Good to be back in the 716. How are you?
Yeah, welcome back, Zig. I mean, we were just kind of joking. The old WNSA back in Buffalo. Zig Fricassi joining us. Zig, you've been to many of these Frozen Fours. I mean, be honest with us. What was your impression last night of the crowd?
What crowd? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, like I talked with the Gino off the air, and this is like my 14th one, and I thought I was at a Sabres game circa 2002. It was basically pick your row night. I mean, you have four of the finest teams in the nation here, three of the last four national champions. So I'm not sure if it was a case of, you know, me being sarcastic here, that they're not used to April hockey in Buffalo. Is it because the college game doesn't draw that much interest, even though it should, because a third of the NHL players now come from U.S. campuses? Is it because the way the ticket pricing and structure was set up? I think there's probably a myriad of factors here as to why that was. Now, you could say, well, Buffalo's an NHL town, nobody cares. Well, a few years ago up in Boston, now granted BU and Providence, it was a New England Frozen Four and championship game. Heck, that place was packed. I mean, even Pittsburgh, even Tampa Bay, those venues were pretty well full. So I have a suspicion it might have been because of the ticket pricing and how that was arranged as to why there wasn't as good a crowd as I thought there should have been.
Well, let's drill down on the ticket pricing a little bit with Zig Fricassi. Zig, that's what you're going to hear most fans, I think, in our region say when they're asked why they didn't check out the Frozen Four. Did you hear about how expensive those tickets were? Those tickets are, how insane are the ticket prices? Because if it's, I'm curious as to whether or not it's a regional thing where our region maybe doesn't have the kind of wealth to support a major event like a Frozen Four moving forward.
Well, I mean, I when the NCAA basketball was here, I assumed that drew, and I think probably because it was, you know, obviously these teams coming in from wherever campuses and locations they are, so I guess it's kind of an unfair comparison. I think you're onto something there. I think it's one of those things where, gosh, I remember back in the day, you could get all three games, the two semifinals and the national championship, gosh, it would probably be as low as maybe 100, 125 for all three games. But I'm seeing prices on different internet sites like, you know, $100 for each ticket for, you know, 300 level for, you know, the semifinal. I'm like, you're outpricing your market here. And so I think that's another of those considerations. I just think they may have overpriced the market here a little bit, even though I got to say, you know, they did put on a nice show, the MAC, you know, Niagara and Canisius, Atlantic Hockey, they do a good job with that. So it wasn't the presentation. I just think it was overpriced tickets.
Zig Fricassi, Sirius XM, hosts the college radio, college hockey show on there as our guest here in the sports bar out in Buffalo. When you look at Minnesota Duluth, and they have been there for three straight years now, Scott Sandelin, at some point, there's going to be an NHL team that's going to come a-knocking, I would think, for Sandelin.
You would think so. I mean, they are constantly up there, and the fact, guys, that they have to, you know, go against the likes of Minnesota, St. Cloud State, who, to me, is the best team in the nation, and they're not even here. They wound up being upset by American International earlier in the tournament. Minnesota State, Duluth. I mean, there's so many schools in that great state of Minnesota, and they're able to maintain the standard of excellence. And they play a style, guys, it's probably not the most crowd-pleasing. It's more very structured, very defensive-oriented, almost rope-a-dope offense, if you will. But they were there last year. They beat Notre Dame for their second title in Duluth, and they've got most of the guys back. Really good young defense, Perunovic, a draft pick of the Blues, Dylan Sandberg, a pick of the Winnipeg Jets. So they are very well structured. Parker McKay is their big forward, and Hunter Shepard is very good through the nets. I picked him to repeat. I'm one game away from that. This should be a good one, though, against UMass tomorrow night.
Zig, Sabres fans are curious as to how Jacob Bryson looked in a losing effort last night for Providence.
From what I saw, I was impressed. You know, had some balance back there. I believe he was in on one of the goals. So if, you know, if he opts obviously, to come to the Sabres, I think that would be a nice add. But with these college guys, you know, sometimes you got to watch, do they want to stay in school? Do they want to force their hand? Almost like this Adam Fox situation now with the Carolina Hurricanes, the outstanding defenseman from Harvard. Apparently he doesn't want to play in Carolina. So does he stay his senior year and then become a free agent? Or do the Canes work out a trade with the Rangers? So with some of these guys, maybe like Bryson included too, that's what you would have to watch out for.
When you're talking about last night, and UMass has been a fun story here. They're in their first final here, Zig, but the story breaking today, and am I saying his name correctly, Bobby Trevino?
Yes.
Suspended. What did you think of the hit last night? And I guess you got to applaud. The rule is the rule. Here's a player that he's going to miss his chance to play in the national championship game for a hit. Zig, what did you think of the hit and the ruling here?
Well, and the thing about it, the play wasn't even penalized, but they obviously missed it. And, you know, we were up in the press box saying, how do you miss that call, especially when you had three other players in the same game get 5 minutes and game misconducts for checks set ahead, yet maybe the most egregious one was missed. But, you know, Trevino is a guy who's one of those players who drives the engine on the front line for the Minutemen, so that is going to be a monumental loss for them. But you know what? They've done so well this year, answering adversity. I thought they were on the run a little bit in the second and third period, but they managed to stay the course. And then Delgazzo gets the game-winning goal. So and this Makar kid, guys, he is really something special. I think the Avs are getting themselves a real blue chipper there with Cale Makar. So, but to the Trevino loss, it's going to be big. So we'll see how they're able to do that. Maybe bump some guys up from the second to the first line to try to offset that loss.
Zig Fracassi, SiriusXM in Buffalo for the Frozen Four of the championship tomorrow night at Key Bank Center. Zig, let's shift gears and talk some Stanley Cup playoff hockey action with you. Boy, I think everybody in this region becomes a Bruin fan just because of the hatred of Toronto. Not expecting...
No wonder they lost last night.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so let's talk about that series to start. I mean, that was a disappointing outcome, obviously, for the Bruins. What did you see, or what did you hear, actually?
Well, I was able to bat an eyelash or two at that game, and I think what happened was they got the early power play goal from Bergeron, and I think, guys, this is just human nature. You've beaten this team on a regular basis, and you've had a history of this, and you did three out of the four this year against them in the regular season. So you're thinking, all right, well, we've got this. Well, the fact of the matter was you didn't have it, because I think Toronto drew a lot of strength from that. Mitch Marner was absolutely the best player on the ice last night. I still think Tuukka Rask is looking for his jock on that shootout, or the breakaway goal on the shootout, I should say, the penalty shot. He was clearly the best player. Toronto was getting behind the Boston defense, which you rarely ever see. And then also, a great point was made, when the Bruins control the center ice area, nobody beats them. Last night, Toronto was getting through those seams. That needs to be tightened up. I wonder if Backes is back for game two. They might get Corrali back for game two. But I'm telling you this, they better not take Toronto for granted, because the two things I said before this series started. If Anderson outplays Rask and Marner's their best guy on Toronto, they definitely have a chance. And for one night anyway, that proved to be true.
Out west, which team is in danger here, would you say? Would it be Winnipeg going up against St. Louis, or perhaps Nashville against Dallas? Two favorites that are in danger going down. Should either those teams be worried here, Zig?
They're in Mike danger. You should have said that. Are they in Mike danger? But in in seriousness, I would say probably Nashville a little bit more, because Montgomery's got them playing some really good hockey down in Dallas. Sagan's starting to really round into that superstar that he's supposed to be. Radulov, of course, played against or with the Predators. Now he's against them, so I think there's motivation there. And all year long, I didn't think Nashville was right. For some reason, there seemed to be inconsistencies in their play. You know, Rene in the playoffs, yeah, they had the 1 year to the Stanley Cup Finals, but other than that, he's been inconsistent, and they just haven't gotten the consistent scoring. Whereas I think Winnipeg has enough talent to respond against St. Louis, but man, Binnington's been so damn good the last month and a half or so of the season. I still think Winnipeg's got a good chance to win their series, but I think of those two teams, guys, probably Nashville is in a little more trouble.
Zig, we saw Tampa do something the other night that we haven't seen them do in years, give up a 3-goal lead. How much of that do you think was them just getting off to a slow start? Are we worried about Tampa, you know, which many people had pegged winning the whole thing?
Well, what's the adage in hockey? The most dangerous lead is a 3-goal lead, and that looked like one of those games where, you know, they were just going to show up and toy with everybody and all this and that. And sure enough, you know, Bobrovsky, even Pierre Maguire said during the pregame, looked shaky. And sure enough, he didn't. Tampa got out to the 3-0 lead. But then it was early in the third, and he made that huge save on Stamkos. And that really seemed to kind of stem the tide a little bit. I think maybe they got a little complacent. Columbus, give them credit. They've been battling back throughout this season. Wasn't easy for them, but they wound up getting into the playoffs. I think now they've got confidence on their side. And if Bobrovsky's better than he was early in game one tonight, then on Wednesday night, I think they're going to give Tampa quite a few fits. And this is the one thing. Everybody's coronating the Lightning as the Stanley Cup champ. They're one of these teams, guys. At regular season success, it's there. But do they have that intestinal fortitude, that toughness, to alter their game a bit? Because as we know, Stanley Cup playoffs, it's a different animal. All slates are clean once we enter the postseason. Are they tough enough to do it? I'm not sure.
Sunday, I've got my viewing mapped out. Masters, but before the Masters, I've got Game 3, Islanders, Penguins. Tonight, Game 2, you know, when you're down there in New York, what's the vibe there around the Islanders right now? How dangerous is this team right now, Zig?
I think they're really dangerous. I think the fact that they're playing their games at the Nassau Coliseum, at least through the first round, gives them a very distinct home ice advantage. I think the fact that they've bought in 100% to, you know, the Barry Trotz system, structured hockey, not a lot of fancy play. You're getting some fabulous goaltending from Robin Lehner, who's been a remarkable story, coming clean with all his demons, and they've responded to that. Letty and Boychuk, who I thought they overpaid for as top number one defensemen, are starting to play like they did when they were with Chicago and Boston, respectively, and you're getting balanced scoring. And I think their fourth line is probably the toughest right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They get a lot of energy from that. Pittsburgh's been inconsistent all year long, even with Crosby and Malkin. It seems like it's been a real struggle for them. So that wouldn't stun me at all if the Islanders take that series, because they've got the home ice. And like I said, Nassau Coliseum is a distinct home ice advantage for them.
Zig, while we have you for a few more minutes, I would love to get some Sabres takes out of you.
Sure.
We know that Todd McClellan won't be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Curious if you're hearing any names associated with that opening and what that coach might be faced with this offseason in terms of building a roster, moving on from some parts within the Sabres organization. Hearing anything?
Well, I saw something today. I guess McClellan's going to meet with the Kings next week. Of course, his son is Tyson, who plays for Denver. So automatically, you know, Todd was at the arena yesterday watching his son practice, and, you know, all the rumor mongers are going ape on that. So, from what I've been able to gather, possibility they promote Chris Taylor from Rochester. I mean, it seems like he works well with kids. Do they kick the can on Sheldon Keefe, who, of course, is the, you know, the coach of the Toronto Marlies? I mean, as far as college, you know, you got Greg Carville right here in Buffalo with UMass. Let's not forget, guys, he was an assistant with Ottawa when they went to the Stanley Cup final in 07. They beat the Sabres in that Eastern Conference final that year. Does he want to get back to the pro game? And especially if Makar leaves and, you know, some of his other players start to leave, that's a possibility. I look at a guy like Rand Pechnold from Quinnipiac. And, I mean, there's just one of these things where do you want to go with a recycled guy? I mean, McClellan's a good coach, but I think they could do something a little bit better than that. But, you know, there's not the Mike Babcocks out there available. So those are some of the names that I would hear that they're kind of in circulation right now.
If they're going for the recycle coach, I'm going to throw two names past you, and you give us your honest take. Not that you wouldn't give a dishonest take. Alain Vigneault and Randy Carlyle.
Well, it's interesting that Vigneault's name has come up because Jason Botterill's one of the, you know, administrators for Team Canada coming up for the World Championships, and Alain is part of that staff, obviously. That guy, he's been to two Stanley Cup finals, so I guess you could kick the can on him. Guy has a good, easy demeanor with the media. And then Randy Carlyle, wow, Stanley Cup winner with Anaheim. They brought him back for a second stint, but it just seemed like everything got stale there. Now, was that because Getzlaff and Perry and all these guys were hurt and they heard the same old BS? Maybe that was part of it. And Carlyle maybe doesn't relate to the younger players all that well. If you're going to go that route, I'd probably shade towards Vigneault, even though Carlisle's got the cup. I mean, Vigneault is a good communicator, affable guy, and he's had teams in the Stanley Cup final. And apparently, from what I remember in New York, he seemed to work with guys pretty well.
Zig, before we let you go, let everybody know where they can hear more of you, read more of your work, and hear more of your work at SiriusXM.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. Going to have probably either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, we'll have a Frozen Four recap show that'll be on ESPNU Radio Channel 84. Of course, you can get me on Saturdays and Sundays, not this weekend, but every weekend on Channel 88 for NFL. And then, of course, gosh, I do NHL hits on Tuesday on Channel 91. And sports updates. But other than that, I'm not that busy.
The great Zig Fricassi. Back in Western New York. Zig, enjoy the game tomorrow night. Enjoy your time tonight out in Buffalo.
Gino and Mike, thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. Zig Fricassi, SiriusXM, joining us here in the sports bar, talking some hockey, talking some Frozen Four with Zig, Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. And if you missed that, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
This narrative, like, oh, look at the hockey TV ratings. Buffalo is the best hockey market. In the last 12 months here, you can now hand back that title to whoever wants it because the World Juniors were a complete bust. Who was the ticket prices? There you just heard Zig Fricassi, who's been the last 14 Frozen Fours, to have not seats, but rows of unsold tickets. Sure, there's not a local team in this. If the Final Four was coming to Buffalo, it would be so. For basketball, this is an embarrassment for Western New York, the lack of fans at the Frozen Four.
No, they have hockey fans. They're just hockey fans who prefer to watch the game on TV. I'll sell my tickets if I can make some money selling my tickets. Again, I don't know that our communities, that our region has the kind of wealth to support these kind of major events.
Well, then this is the argument against the new downtown stadium. Because you're going to have, well, you build a new downtown stadium and you can attract other things. No, you're not. You can't even fill the hockey arena for the premier college hockey event every year.
Of course.
And it's not going to come back. It's not going to come back if you can't sell it out.
Right. Yes. Yes. Sorry. To all.
Okay.
Good to get Zig, our ears and eyes at the Frozen Four, on with us. And to clear that up, I mean, plenty of good seats available last night, according to Zig. Yeah. Mm. All right, let's get to NFL appetizers. We serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years online at alexsribs.com.
This is strange. I don't think we've talked football this whole show. It's been golf and hockey. Well, unless you count, I guess, the AAF and Jay Cutler, but we have the latest from the NFL, including the Bills taking in one of these quarterback prospects today. We'll give you the latest on that. Could the Bills be actually trading up? There's one player that rumored the Bills to be looking on. The latest from the Raiders and a Hall of Famer passing. And oh, by the way, Chris Hogan has a new home.
Is that the guy that, hold on a second, is that the same guy that played college lacrosse?
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Hold on a second. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought, I could have swore I heard, maybe just once, maybe it was in passing. I don't know.
No.
I thought I heard that Chris Hogan played college lacrosse at Penn State.
No.
He was a college lacrosse player.
I don't believe it. He's a football player. He wouldn't have played lacrosse.
I might have heard it once. All right. We'll get to NFL appetizers next. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.